Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ring, 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 ring.
What's up, buddy?
Dude.
Just got off another hot watch of a speech in Andor.
Oh, man. Oh. It's all too much, horse.
Man, this show is something else. It is something else.
So,
mm-hmm.
Got a question for you.
Okay.
Debate. So Jackie hasn't seen an episode of this show, right?
Okay.
And, you know, as it went along, I was like, oh, it's pretty good. Yeah, I think you might like it. And then I was like, and then for the last few weeks, I'm just like, oh, yeah, that was the best episode ever. And then today I was talking to her about it. And I'm like, hey, you got to watch this show. Episode 10 could be the greatest episode of television of all time. And she's like, no, you're being, you know, like, what about Lost? And I was like, here's the deal. You know, Hawes, stop doing your mouse pad or whatever you're doing.
Okay.
You know, Hawes is a big Lost fan. So I will pose it to him and report back. Where does this one stack up for you among the true greats?
Slightly below the pilot episode for Lost.
So the pilot episode of Lost is your favorite?
It's not my favorite, but I think it is a phenomenal episode of TV. I think it's the best pilot episode of any show ever done.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue any of those points. But I just, like, for my satisfaction as a viewer, like, it's got to be later on. And that's what was so good about this one. And in, like, three episodes... In two episodes, you've been introduced to, despised, and then loved Keanu Loy.
That's true. I mean, look, I think this is phenomenal TV. We're getting the fact that we're getting this high quality Star Wars TV already, I think, is a really good sign going forward. It's going to be a little while, man. Lost is ingrained in me in a way no other TV show has ever been. It's my favorite TV show, right? So it's hard to say. Like, I like a lot of episodes of Lost. It's easier for me to tell you episodes I don't like than it is to just list out all the ones I do like.
I was wondering how the second viewing of like the full episode would go for me.
Mm-hmm.
Given like the first one, like during the escape, I was shaking.
Yeah, man. It's intense.
And I was like, oh. And because just the way like Keanu's character was left, where his character was left, where we left him
mm-hmm.
in his story, we'll just leave it as open as possible. Just so I can continue on day by day, I need to leave it open. But, dude, so I'm rewatching the bit where he gives a speech.
Uh-huh. Well, which one? Because he's got a couple of speeches in this episode.
The one on the over the microphone
on where, in the command center or whatever.
Yeah, where Andor sort of eggs him on.
Yeah.
and then he sort of becomes the leader like that he always was. And then all the escapees, like, no way out, no way out, running around, like, freeing and stuff. I was bawling. Like knowing now, the second time, that Kino knew he was never leaving.
Yeah, because he had to know, right? Like, absolutely, he had to know that, like, once it gets down to brass tacks, he can't swim. And there's only one way out.
But also, that he'd rather die taking him down.
Yeah.
Than die in there. Like, I'm already dead.
Buddy, I'm telling you, if Kino had been a member of the Rebellion at the beginning of Empire Strikes Back, that Battle of Hoth goes way differently. Right? Instead of Cliff being like, okay, guys, let's go. Have Kino up in there and face yelling at him and stuff. Those AT-ATs go down real quick.
So what do you reckon I should do, Hortz, going forth in my life? What do I do about this?
I tell you exactly what you do, buddy. Right? As a man who is well-versed in having a Star Wars character he loves fate be questionable for decades, I say this is what you do. You play it patient, man. He's coming back. He's coming back. And the way it's going to happen is there's going to be somebody like laid up in the desert, and you're going to hear footsteps, and you're going to see that they're barefoot, right? Because he's still rocking the bare feet. And then, I don't know, you're not going to hear a Spurs sound like I heard with Boba Fett, but there could be some sort of sound effect to hint that he's coming back in the next season of whatever show this is.
Like, his ending, like, and then watching it again a second time, like, it is, like, tragically perfect.
Yep.
And just, like, watching it a second time, knowing, because I sort of didn't grieve for him on the first viewing, because I was like, all right, okay, yep, and then, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yep, yep. Like
it, and then it just changed to, like,
uh-oh.
The most instant, like the most fascinating 5 minutes of Star Wars, like, television.
Oh, my God. With Luthen and old Ginger Stash.
Dude, that was like, remember when Rey was in the cave with all the mirrors?
Uh-huh.
And you just, like, the first time you're watching, like, what is going to happen next? Like, what is going to happen next? What happens when she touches that? Now what happens? Like, it was, like, that level of just, where is this going?
I know.
Oh, my stars. That speech. And so that just takes you away from the grieving for Kino. And then it comes back to that, you know, gorgeous shot of them running towards the moon.
Yep.
Oh! And then it ends. And then it's sort of just like, Kino. What about Kino?
Yep.
Now, listen. In the finale of The Bad Batch, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what you didn't expect, this segue.
No, I sure didn't. That's why it took a second for me to respond. I was a little shocked, to be honest, but carry on.
They leave. I can't even remember any of their names anymore. The bad one, or the one that's sort of like
Crosshair.
Crosshair, they leave him in the middle of the ocean.
Yep.
On a pole. And no one's going, oh, we're not seeing Crosshair next season. That's all, hey, I'm saying.
Oh, hey, man, we didn't see a body. The possibilities are endless, right?
What's it, Gilroy? God Gilroy? I don't want to deity someone for their television output, but come on. He did say that we didn't see him die.
Yep, he sure did. I saw that. Man.
So I'm thinking, sticker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your Kino lives theory rules.
Nice. Get crank them out, buddy. Get the printing press on the line.
Because much like the Your Snoke Theory Sucks sticker, it said it doesn't even matter what your theory is. It sucks. It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, whatever your theory is about him living.
Rules.
Yes, rules.
Yeah.
Except we will not accept Hawes. It is unacceptable that any of the theories is any gets captured and tortured or something like that, or he's still in the prison. Unacceptable. Unacceptable theory. For him to live, he must live.
Maybe he gets captured, right? He gets put on.
Don't like it.
No, listen. Hear me out, buddy. Hear me out. You're going to like it. You're going to just have to give me a second to pull you back in, okay? He gets captured.
I'll take a second to say I don't like it.
He gets put on trial for his role in the prison break.
I'm about to put you on trial for talking about this.
Cassian and old Melchi go and break him out.
Nah. Two Star Wars rebels.
Fair enough.
We need there will be no more breakouts. The Empire will not be having breakouts. So, you know, sadly, the life of the prisoners on that planet, it's going to get worse.
I got an idea, okay? Same ideas before, but instead of a breakout, he gets a up-and-coming criminal defense lawyer to represent him. That criminal defense lawyer, Bail Organa. Jimmy Schmitz is in the picture, baby. Here we go.
So Bail Organa is a lawyer.
Yeah, and a senator, and a good dad.
Okay.
And a handsome guy.
When he goes to perform law, does he slam shut the trunk of his speeder?
Yes.
Revealing the number plate?
Yes.
That says LA Law in space.
Exactly.
Your Kino Lives theory sucks, Hawes.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, I don't know if you can tell this from my tone, but I've been pacing this entire podcast.
I can tell. I didn't want to bring it up, but yeah, I can tell you've been walking back and forth a little bit. I can tell. I know that feeling, buddy. Listen, all I got to say is, once again, as someone who is extremely adept at waiting the return of a favorite character of theirs, when they do return, there may be some wrinkles you have to accept that you didn't expect, right? Like, I don't know, two episodes of his own series that don't even feature that character.
The glass is always one third empty with you, isn't it, Hawes?
Just one third. I appreciate you recognizing that it's only one third.
Statistics are definitely my thing, so there you go. Woof. Kino Loy.
What a dude, man.
What a champ.
I love that opening scene of like Cassian sort of picking at him, being like, no, man, we got to do this now. You heard what they said. You know what I mean? Until he just snaps and tells the whole floor, nobody is getting out. Shit, I love that part.
Let me tell you why Kino Loy is a hero for our time, Hawes.
Okay.
Through Kino Loy's circumstances and his input, what he was given, he was someone that believed something very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he didn't have that much say in it, but he dedicated his entire life to that belief. And then upon finding out further facts that disproved his belief, he changed his opinion.
My goodness. It can be done. Go figure.
So that is why he's a hero of our time.
I agree.
God. All right.
Hey, for the record, I did call that one of those ISB guys was a mole, by the way. And you said, I don't think so.
Was he one of the guys that came in late? Because if so, you completely called it.
I think he was.
We need someone to go back and check that out. But
yeah,
you like that's nailing. Nailing at Hawks.
And also, I would like to put forth as evidence for my Cinta killed the family theory, the fact that Luthen makes a veiled threat to that guy's daughter, to me, only cements that some rough stuff is going on the side of the rebels, too.
And he would know.
Yeah.
Old Redmo. God, Redmo, he's in for some stressful nights trying to get to sleep.
Buddy, I think his mustache is short for this universe, let me tell you, because I think they also sort of implied that Deidre might be suspicious of him in this episode.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think she just sees him as a rival.
That actually probably makes more sense given the character, right? Like, she's looking everywhere for, you know, Luthen and all these connections to the rebels when one of her coworkers is right there working with them, and her ambition and her competitiveness within that organization is sort of blinding her to any signs that might be there.
Well, I don't even think there's signs because... you know, he's actually giving good advice.
Right, and it's and they did say that it's been over a year since he and Luthen had talked, right?
Yeah, so obviously, I don't know, I guess they've been communicating through cracks in handrails and such things. Mm-hmm. Oh, how good was it when he went down, like, into the lower depths and you sort of weren't sure who he was?
Mm-hmm.
And then... because they've sort of like held off, like there's not an abundance of aliens, that's some people's like criticism of it, but seeing the aliens sort of really gave it that, like, after not seeing aliens,
yep,
it gave it like this extra sort of we're in the underground, mm-hmm, of the city sort of thing. I've liked their use of aliens. Like, we got to see some good ones that when they were at that space dance party planet.
Oh, like in the first episode. Like in the very first scene of the first episode, right?
No. When Andor gets arrested.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, the beach resort. There were some aliens there. There was also some aliens on Ferrix.
But the aliens at the dance party thing, I don't know, they were just so entertaining. Like, you know, they're like playing cards. And mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just sort of like... like, after years, you know, all our lives, we've been enjoying these Star Wars aliens whores.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, for the first time, they get to go on vacation.
Yeah, man. They've been doing a lot of heavy lifting the last almost five decades, you know? 45 God, years.
Damn it. Yeah. So, yeah, I love that. You know, going into the underworld and stuff, that was really cool. And that that elevator. Oh,
and it's fancy Bluetooth speaker, a Star Wars Bluetooth speaker, mm-hmm, or earpiece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, did you watch that that little Grogu animation?
I did.
What did you make of that?
So, look, I on surface level, I thought it was cute. I thought it was well animated. I thought the music was really good. Like, I enjoyed it front to back. As an anime fan, particularly as a pretty big fan of the studio that made this, like, you know, it was one of those situations where I probably let myself get a little too hyped on what it was going to end up being versus what it was. At the end of the day, I'm just stoked we have something Star Wars that Studio Ghibli did, right? Like, that to have a Japanese animation studio of that level of esteem work on Star Wars. Like, I think that's cool. And I enjoyed it. It's just, you know, I probably would have been a little more excited if it was like a Visions short for next season or something.
Yeah, well, that's sort of what I thought they were doing.
Yeah, like, me too. It just made the most sense, right?
Because apparently it's today like the third anniversary of Grogu or something?
Is it? It might be, buddy. When did Disney Plus launch? Because it was the first new show on Disney Plus. That would make a lot of sense.
That's what I heard. It was like Grogu Day.
That makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, so weird because it's not even... Like, it's not mentioned on the platform at all.
No, like, when I logged into Disney Plus this morning to watch it, I had to seek it out. I thought it would be, like, right up front.
It's on my one, it was the second slide.
Oh, okay.
I always note where all the Star Wars slides are. Andor's number 4 currently.
Nice.
Yeah, like, it's sort of like, I'm whatevers, because I'm not like... I don't feel like I was owed some, but no. they did sort of, it's just like this random thing. But I was quite excited when we found out about it, whenever it was, you know, the announcement or the rumor or the leak or whatever. But to show Harry, because there's this little Lego Star Wars, like little Grogu shorts, but they're only a minute, but he loves them and he doesn't understand why there's not more. And so I was like, oh, you know, this is going to be a little mini, you know, I thought like a 8 minute little Grogu cartoon. And so we put it on. I think it's like 3 minutes or something, 4 minutes. But yeah, he was sort of just like, at the end he went, that wasn't a show.
Well, I mean, he's got a point. My man's got a point. It's hard to argue, you know?
It's so funny. That wasn't a show.
That is real funny. Like, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I'm happy it exists. Like I said, at the end of the day, the fact that Studio Ghibli did something Star Wars is cool to me. I would love for them to do a movie or an animated show or a short on Visions. And maybe this is the start of some sort of relationship like that, you know? But maybe slightly... a little disappointed in what it turned out to be versus what I hyped it up as possibly being in my head, right? And that's my own fault.
Yeah, it was sort of more of a work of art.
Yeah, yeah, which makes a lot of sense given, you know, the studio involved. Buddy, if I know it's a hard ask, man, I totally get it, but... if you were ever in the mood to watch one of their movies, I think you could. I think there's a couple in there that you would watch and probably enjoy. They're really good.
And they're talk?
All. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, it's animated movies and like.
But like I've seen a few images of it, but then after seeing that, I'm like, oh, maybe the whole studio is just like very
artistic and not a lot of spoken dialogue.
Yeah.
No, buddy, they're pretty plot heavy. I would say Princess Mononoke or My Neighbor Totoro. You would recognize stuff from My Neighbor Totoro because of like cat bus and stuff. You've probably seen that going around on the internet and stuff.
It sounds like a Japanese sitcom.
A little more magical than that.
Okay, well, who knows? I'm still walking around the house, by the way. I'm just very
you're getting your steps in.
Yeah, I guess. I'd sort of forgotten I'd been doing it for the past 20 minutes and I just realized I've been on this really weird like track, like a drone. I think it's all my background work just kicking in.
There you go.
Because sometimes you are in the background a bit of a what do they call them in video games? An NPC. Is that
an NPC, correct. There you go, yeah. Buddy. Look at you.
I'm an NPC of Hollywood. Just, but two more episodes, like, I think where a lot of the finale is going to focus on, is it Fenix? The
Ferrix, yeah.
Ferrix?
Yeah.
And we're going to see the sort of the culmination of the mom's story.
Oh, yeah. I think whatever goes on with Marva probably sort of galvanizes Andor and is the final push he needs to just, you know, completely go all in on the rebellion. I think that's how we leave the character at the end of this season is, all right, I'm off to fully be part of the rebellion at this point.
So Gilroy, right,
mm-hmm.
says the last line in the series, like, sort of galvanizes, like, Andor, the character of Andor or something, where he's at and where he will be going forward.
So does that mean this season or does that mean the end of next season?
This season.
Okay.
And Andor superfan number one, Catherine Neen, theorized on the Star Wars Spelt Out podcast.
Okay.
That last line would be something from the manifesto.
Nimitz manifesto.
Which would mean he'd have to go back to that hotel.
He goes back and the money's missing and just the manifesto is there. And he's like, oh, man, of the two that could be left here.
So that's pretty interesting.
That's very interesting.
I'm sort of hoping there's a scene. I did a little Photoshop of Perrin in the prison. And I really hope that in the fight, like, you know, Mon Mothma, something will happen where she has to go. And she offers Perrin a chance to come and he's like a real dick. Like, oh, I'm staying here. Like, what? Like, I'm not giving this up. You're crazy. And thinking he'd be fine. But then he gets arrested because the Empire is just like not going to believe him that he knew nothing about it.
I think that would be...
And there's sort of going to be an ironic punishment.
Yeah, I think that would be...
Because how could a husband not know?
Right. I think that would be like the perfect, like, justice for that dude, for that shithead. Like, I really like that idea. I just think Mon Mothma's sort of like her moment where she has to sort of completely commit to the rebellion. I think we will see it. I think it'll be next season, though.
Yeah, you have to see it.
You will. I 100% yeah. You will. I think it'll just be next season because...
Oh, definitely next season.
Yeah. Oh, and did you see they did confirm that Yavin is part of next season? Woo, I'm excited.
But this is what I like about this Gilroy dude, right?
Yeah, he just throws it all out there.
Because
just let us
what
know.
Does it... Like,
it doesn't.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't all have to be... Like, it's just... Like, and just like... The directors and stuff, like he said, who's doing it. And like that sort of information is not that like exciting for me really because, you know, I don't follow all the directors.
Right.
I mean?
And
it's cool to hear, oh, they did this. Show. And it's like, oh, yeah, I've heard that show's good. Or, you know, I've seen that. That's good. But it's not a huge thing. But how they like on The Mandalorian and that just keep it all secret. For like no reason, like it's just like it's a secret because it's for like it's
for secrecy's sake.
Yeah, it's like why?
And it makes
what profit is in that?
It makes even less sense with The Mandalorian to me because we know most of the people by now, right? Like they've got their solid little crew that they cycle in and out to direct that show. So what harm would it be being like, oh well, Bryce Dallas Howard's directing to. Rick Famuyiwa is directing to, you know, Jon Favreau is going to do one. Dave Filoni is going to do a couple. You know what I mean? What at this point, we know the most likely candidates. And sure, there's probably going to be some new people in the mix, too. But It's just that one to me has always been a little silly, the directors of the episodes, because just like you, I don't follow these people, right? I kind of watch Star Wars shit and Marvel stuff and occasionally something with a dragon or an elf in it, right? So unless you've directed...
The Corey Van Dyke media diet.
Yes, me and Corey. Buddy, I have said many times that certain aspects of Corey remind me of a young Halls. I think that might be why I like that dude so much. We know what we like, man. Chicken fingers and french fries all day. But dang it, I got off on a tangent. I can't remember. Oh, but once they start showing up, right? Like once they direct an episode of... Star Wars, then like, okay, well, I know Rick Famuyiwa did a couple of episodes of Mandalorian I really liked. Why not give us that to look forward? Like, oh shit, he's going to have two or three episodes or whatever. Same thing with Deborah Chow or Bryce Dallas Howard or any of the people that have directed those episodes.
But here's the thing I always ask. Like, where's the money in it? Like, where's the money in not announcing the directors?
There isn't.
At least announcing the directors is it's like you're spending
$0.
No, but it's like you're releasing something.
Uh-oh.
That will just be what?
You keep going. I'll tell you in a second. Something just popped up on my feed.
It will. Like, because you've got, with every new thing you make, there's a certain amount of excitement that you've got to spend.
Yes, and
Because you can find out who the actors are, you can mm-hmm. find out the directors, you can find out a location, you can find out a guest star. And you spend, you know, how you spend this, the PR company or the PR division of Disney is, you know, should be, like, how do we spend out all this credit of excitement in so things culminate right at the end, but, you know, you keep people focused on your franchise? Because, you know, now more than ever, you can just easily click. If you're not keeping people occupied with new things, they're Game of Thrones. They're off, you know, they're into another franchise. And... like finding out who the director is in the end credits, like it's just like, well, you just spent that, like that's at the end. Like,
yeah. And there's none of that. Like, so essentially you're saying what I was going to say is that, like, I don't think it's ever a bad thing to have some sort of positive Star Wars news in the entertainment news cycle, even if it is, so-and-so's directing two episodes of Mandalorian, because leading up to their episodes, you know what you get Twitter posts and Instagram posts and stuff being like, oh snap, remember when Rick Famuyiwa did that episode with Din and Bill Burr and it was really good? Well, he's doing the episode next week, get excited, you know?
Yeah, it's like a freebie, just
a freebie advertisement
but to steer the conversation somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, it stimulates new conversation and new excitement about the show. Or maybe it doesn't, you know, it just goes over your head or under your feet, however you want to see it. But it's just, it's a free spend. But yeah. Anyway, I always have, like, that's one of my big bugbears, that they could be giving out little... yeah. snippets and of things going on in Star Wars around the world,
right?
That spoil nothing but sparks imagination.
Well, okay, a perfect example. Last week when they announced the cast and the start of production for Acolyte, and they had the little synopsis. Perfect, right? It gave away nothing. Showed us the cast. It was, you know, there's already
Also, to their credit, there was a photo of the set.
Yeah.
And it said nothing, but I was sort of just like, it's so cool to see something new where you're like, oh, Star Wars is going to take place in there. That's sick.
You know what it reminds me of is, do you remember seeing the paparazzi photos of construction going on for the prequels for Phantom Menace, like out in the desert in Tunisia? Yeah. And there'd be like the big, like structures that would just be like wooden slats. You could tell they were building something. Like, that's what it reminds me of, being like, holy crap, they're telling new Star Wars I'm going to get to see soon. So the thing that came across my feed, it did not turn out to be as exciting as I thought it might be, was the poster for Zen, Grogu, and the Dust Bunnies. So you know me, I know you, a good Star Wars Japanese poster, that could be exciting, right? Well, check this out. It's not that great.
I think How am I going to get it?
I think I'll be able to share it with you on your screen. Through, like, Skype. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Look at it. That's just a poster. No cool Japanese text.
It's just the thumbnail.
Yeah, it's just the thumbnail. It's just the thumbnail. You're correct.
But are they going to release it as a poster?
I think so. Yes.
I marvel at, like, the things that they let slip through the cracks. Like, you know, I guess it's... No. It's not, because you should not leave money on the table. But remember back in, like, the prequel days, and there'd be a new, like, teaser poster, and the fan club would sell the poster?
Yeah.
And you get, like, the cinema poster with the two... You know, it was two-sided, and, like...
Had them all.
It's crazy to me that there's not, like, a division that does that. That, like, when there's the new movie poster, or, you know, even all these character posters to a lesser extent. But, you know, when the new movies come out, like, you know, I feel like the temperature for it now is down. But back... in the sequel trilogy days, people would be, you know, clamoring for, you know, those posters.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I can't even remember how early I had that Anakin Darth Vader shadow poster on my wall. Like, because the minute they put it up on the fan club, I ordered it. It was one of my first internet purchases, from what I can remember.
Congratulations. I actually had, through my great networking with people at Toys R Us, the banner.
Oh man, that's cool.
Oh actually no, I didn't get that from Toys R Us. I got that from the cinema. Yeah, okay,
so speaking of the character posters, can I get something off my chest real quick?
Sure, okay,
so I'll share my screen to show you the two examples too.
I've got to tell you this, right? I just got to jump in. This is what an impact this visual had on me, that it happens instantly. The moment you said chest, I've got to get this off my chest, I instantly thought of Boo on Halloween in his aerobics outfit.
Bro, man.
That guy has got a lush Endor forest moon, like, chestal area.
Let me say... love the commitment to the bit. Love the commitment to the bit by my buddy Boo there. All right, so, okay, speaking of character posters. So remember in season 2 of Mandalorian where they kept doing the cool character posters? There is a company that sells those, right? So then they put this up online. That's the Boba Fett character poster. I got to get
that. Okay.
Right? Got to get it. He's finally back. Got to get it, right? So I go to Trends International, I believe that's the brand name. And for every single episode before that, they just had the regular character poster. Bo-Katan, you know, whoever it was that they did the character poster for. This is the one that they sell, though. Look at this thing, man. It
Make
looks,
it bigger.
I'm doing that right now. Well, why is this... All right, you know, works great. Maybe it's this one. All right, same thing.
Oh God, make it stop.
Make what stop?
That poster is not good.
Yeah, buddy, and that is the one they sell. They don't sell the character poster like they promoted online, you know, to promote the episode. That is the version of the poster they sell. Like,
I've got to describe what this is to the... Okay,
So it is an it's an official poster. And by the way, it looks like you could buy it on a bootleg piece of cardboard in Tijuana. Like,
how dare you?
So it's got the same, it's the same image of Boba from the character poster in the forefront, but in the background, instead of, you know, like the, that yellow tinted graffiti wall they did for the character posters that season.
Yeah.
It's poorly photoshopped in Temuera Morrison, in his black robes with his gaffy stick. Two different images, one of a close-up of his face, one of a mid-swing. And then lightly in the horizon is the Slave One, some other ship. Oh, it's got to be a Dark Trooper flying up to Moff Gideon's ship. It is ugly.
Oof.
It's bad.
They never did that Luke one.
They never did a Luke one. Maybe they didn't want to put that character model on the poster.
Maybe. What's that dripping?
That is my dog drinking water.
Ah, that's lovely. It sounds like the floor above you is having a water-soaked prison riot.
Oh, I sure hope not, because there's no floor above me. That'd be the attic. Oh, boy.
How's it when it started dripping down? That was pretty sick.
Dude, the simple realization of, like, what the plan was with that saw, like, what he was trying to do, when I realized, like, oh, it's just a water pipe. He's just trying to bust a water vein. Like, because, you know, I thought, like, maybe he's trying to pry something loose in there to use as a weapon, or maybe there's something in there that would stop that lift. Nope. We're just going to flood this place with water and short out all the floors.
Yeah, I sort of thought it had something to do with the lift. Like, you know, when they sort of previewed it the episode before.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, the way it unveiled, like, it was so good. It was a bummer that guy, the younger dude, he ate it pretty early. The guy that jumped across onto the platform, like the first dude.
Yeah, the nervous guy, the real nervous guy.
He wasn't that nervous. Maybe he was a bit nervous.
A little nervous.
But, yeah, that was a bummer that he got shot down early.
Yeah, and the first mention of, like, any sort of hint at what they're making in there. We didn't get an answer, but he was like, whatever it is we're making, they need a lot of them.
Mm.
It's something for the Death Star.
Yeah. It's, you would think. Andy Serkis seems to think it's something important.
Yes.
And yeah, all hail Andy Serkis. So I've got you know, I'm coming to terms with this Kino Loy and where he's left me. And I, as I was saying before, I do find it, like, tragically poetic that, like, especially watching it the second time and just, like knowing that he knew he wasn't going to be able to get out.
Uh-huh.
It's you know, it's beautiful. But just think, Hawes. Remember when, like, it would be a Rose and Bernard level reunion.
Oh, my God.
Kino, you made it.
Or any number of the times that Jen turned out to be alive. They sure faked that dude out a whole lot.
I always think Rose and Bernard was like.
Oh, it's so good. Like, because they spend, and part of it is how long they spend in the first season sort of, like, nailing home that she's like, no, he's somewhere. He's fine. You know?
Yeah, and she seems crazy.
Yeah, and then the reveal. Like, it's not until the second season that you even meet him for the first time. And you're like, holy crap, Bernard is alive. Let's go!
Oh, that reunion.
So good.
But I like... Like, I thought his end you know, beautiful, great. You like, you know, I'm not that phased about awards, but if you're handing them out, chuck them that way, right? But I am very interested in experiencing the emotions that would go with their reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just feel like it would be an entire body experience. I feel like I would shed like negative energy.
You would transcend the mortal plane.
Yeah, like that, you know, that meme where the brain's like...
Uh-huh. Oh, boy, do I. They use that meme with Tool stuff all the time, because a lot of those are Tool images.
Oh, got you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just feel like it'd be like a really good massage.
All right.
Like, the next day, I'd just be like, woof! I feel like it would... Like, my... Well, this is the deal. I can guarantee my life would be better if they reunite.
Well,
because okay. I will have such a surge of happiness that that surge will radiate upon the people around me.
Hey, man.
So if you want to improve the planet,
bring
Tony
Kino
Gilroy,
back.
Let's make with the reunion season two. Let's go. Like, I would cry so much. Like, just, oh, I love him. He's so good. He's got such conviction.
He is very good. And for the record, not for nothing, you were kind of on the Kino train even after the first episode, before we started seeing some cracks in his on-program personality.
That he wasn't a bad guy.
Yep. Yep.
You know it. Yep. Face turn, whores!
You saw it. I mean, you called it. You 100% called it.
What is better than a face turn?
Not a whole lot.
I tell you what's better.
Hmm.
A run in.
Oh.
And that's what we need for Kino Loy. We need a ship coming out of the sun.
Maybe he's who shows up with like the first grip of X-Wings and Y-Wings for the Rebellion. He's like, hey, I hear you guys need some hardware. And Cassian's like, you son of a... You're alive?
One way out, brother.
Yeah.
Yes! Let's go!
But he's still not wearing shoes.
Give him some shoes.
He does it to remind himself.
Nah.
Got all busted up hobbit feet and stuff. He's got a little experience with that.
Man, so Gilroy, right?
Yep.
He's like saying that these last two, if it like comes together the way they hope, they're the best episodes.
Whoa.
How?
If that's the case, then like there will be a monumental level of hype for this second season in a couple of years.
Well, that's what I actually was theorizing to my little self, is I think when it comes back for season two, it will have a giant first day, first week. Because
people are going to watch it in the couple of years. There's going to be like, there's time, right? Because they're just now starting to shoot it. It's not coming out next year. It'll probably be around the same time it started this year in a couple of years. That's time for like, you know, people to talk to friends and family and be like, you should watch Andor. More people watch it.
Yeah.
See how good it is, you know?
And without question, it's going to be in the Emmys. Like, you know, if they win or not, like, that's like whatevers. But there's no way.
They're going to submit a ton of people. You know how they always, you know, you read the stories about like, well, Lucasfilm just submitted so-and-so from The Mandalorian for Emmys. It's going to be a big list for Andor. Like they're gonna nominate Diego Luna. He's the face, right? They're gonna nominate Max von Sydow or what? No, that's the guy from Force Awakens. Skarsgård, Stellan Skarsgård, Luthen, Andy Serkis, Mon Mothma. But
imagine the clips.
Yeah.
Best supporting actor, Stellan Skarsgård, or is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
And it's just like, what have I sacrificed? Oh, dude. Come on.
Bruh. And can I say, as a man who loves a good speech, three really good speeches in an episode, and they're all lengthy. It was like the Tool song of Star Wars speeches. I was eating it up. I was like, keep playing those drums, Danny Carey. Keep talking to me, Skarsgård. What else you got to say?
I do have to say as well, I'm not a big focuser on such things, but when they're all escaping, music.
Amazing.
Oof.
I could have watched an extended cut of this episode that was just 20 more minutes of those guys running around barefoot, killing security guards and breaking out.
Oh, man. Dude. Big shout out to my UK background brethren. Killing it.
Killing it.
When they're all running down the tube going, one way out.
Yep.
Yes.
Dude, the shots of the different levels intercut with the second keynote speech, when like you see them all testing the floors and realizing like, oh, they don't have their one weapon that they can use against us, and we far outnumber them. Like, that's really good stuff right there.
I was thinking how annoying it would be if you're on the night shift.
Yeah. Yeah, and you wake up the next morning and you're like, dang, they didn't get any rack stuff. Where are all these people dead?
Oh, no. They'd hear the announcement, but it'd just be like, oh, I just got to sleep. Like, yep. Couldn't you just do it a little bit later? Come on.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, speaking about the backgrounders, there was a very important piece of storytelling setting something up with the backgrounders. And that was when they're all on the stairs and people fall over and people don't help them back up. And that sort of just showed like there's just desperation, right?
Right.
And that sets up Andor just getting pushed over the edge.
Yep.
Because it sort of set up that was like, you know, Kino's like, help out your brothers and stuff. But, you know, when push comes to shove, literally, they're all prisoners that just want to get out. And, you know, who knows? Maybe some of them actually did bad things. I have no idea.
Right.
But, yeah, it sort of set up that chaotic tone for when Andor got pushed off, which is just heartbreaking.
It is.
Like knowing what he's going to say the second time. Like, and just the pretending you're someone else in a different situation on this Andy Serkis. They've got to have an easier way to describe what he's doing there. But acting, that's what it's called. Just stunning. Like, just like so painful, but like so enjoyable to watch, but it's just pain.
Yeah. Yep. It is pain. It is emotional damage is what it is.
Oh.
That poor
guy. But when he comes back.
But when he comes back, joyous, right?
Could you imagine?
Man. Well, the one thing I got to say, so like, you know, Melchi, right? This guy who...
I've got a Melchi thought, actually.
This guy who actually turned out to be in Rogue One, and I didn't realize until after you mentioned it when we recorded last, and I was like, I don't know what Steele's talking about. I'm going to go research. And I was like, oh, crap, he was in, I remember him from Rogue One, kind of, you know? Look at that. Well, given that, there, you know who's definitely going to be showing up is, like, what's his name? Merrick, the leader of Blue Squadron, the X-Wing pilot with the mustache. He'll definitely be showing up. If they're bringing Melchi, they're bringing that guy for sure.
The I did think Melchi, there's a few scenes where they're sort of trying to, you know, take new areas of the prison. And, you know, Melchi's got a blaster and he's leading it. And I was like, in with the, you know, the power of, you know, knowing what's to come, foresight. Great plan, great top-notch strategy. Get Melchi up front.
Uh-huh.
Melchi, you lead the way, Melchi. I've got a good feeling about Melchi. But just that, you know, we know, if you know he's going to live, get him up front.
Yeah.
Let him take a few blasts for the crew up and back.
Let a guy take three whole episodes to realize that he was a small part of the movie this leads up to.
I got to say, the bit where, like, the elevator's just coming down and everyone's on program and they're all looking at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that edited to the music just before the Sarlacc pit battle.
Oh. Done. Yep. Yep.
Don't. Oh man, I've got to edit that. Dude. Oh my god. Could you imagine that mute like that? Don't. And then they start fighting, and then it's the music. That's sick.
Well, what you have to do is cut the music in. You know, when he ignites the saber, right? When Cassian shoves that rod in the lift, because that's like when the plan starts, right? That's the official start of it's going down.
God, if I could do that good, it would really appeal to me. I would watch it on YouTube several times.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Oh man, but the looks, like, but I sort of that just the Luke Skywalker scene just popped in my head as I was going on about it, because it was sort of like, oh, it's like this other thing that I've loved forever. But the pretending you're something else-ness on these people as they glanced at each other. Like, are we going to do it? Like, are you, you're like, oh, it was just, it was so good.
It was really good. Man. It's good in a way that sometimes it's a little hard to talk about, because it's, at least for me, it is outside the normal realm of good for Star Wars, right? Like, it definitely has that prestige feel to it, you know? I like that basically this Imperial prison has spent, you know, who knows how many years training and forcing these guys to work sort of as a unit to get like optimal efficiency out of them building these racks, right? And then when it all goes down, that like sort of camaraderie and teamwork skills that they've developed being prisoners really comes into play when they have to work together to escape. Like that scene where they're all getting their implements ready, like when the plan is just starting to come together and Cassian's back there sawing at the pipe and they're all getting stuff to beat up people with and stuff. Man. And they're all doing it like in sync with each other.
And they trained Kano to lead them to escape.
Yeah, they sure did.
Because, you know, Andor's like going,
you do this every day.
You do this every day.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them what to do. And I loved I love a show where something's a bit confusing or you don't get. I love it when you've got the confidence in the show to go, yeah, let's just wait a couple episodes.
Right.
See what's going on. You know, they might explain it. And Kino explained the whole thing about that prisoner going back and what was meant to happen to the prisoner, like to the entire prison.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, yeah, you know that plot hole? You know that one that you're all going on about down there on Section 6? Cop this. We're going to get shipped somewhere else to die. Yeah, that was just like, it's just like, that was like my, out of that last episode, that was the one thing where I was just like, because they can't do that all the time, because like they'd talk and
yeah, this would have happened all the time, this incident.
And it's so good that they gave you like that little gap to like go in on your head, you know, that was my headcanon, was like they ship you off to another planet where it's like they're done tricking you. It's just like, yeah, just do this or you get pain, okay? Like, you know, a different style of prison sort of labor. But yeah, the fact that like they gave you that week to do it, to like come up with that or wonder about it, and then it's just like, yep, here it is, sealed.
Yep.
It's delicious.
It is. It certainly is. Man.
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 Man. Alrighty. Hey, we haven't, because we've been doing these episodes, we haven't put one up on the normal feed for a bit. So let's put this one up as a sizzle for the pending series finale, 2-part season finale of Whore's Calls.
Yep.
Andor. We didn't really explain what this was at the start, but this is a Patreon show we do every week after a show where we just ring each other and just garble for
and buddy,
as long as we can.
I think, it, like, you know, not for nothing, I think you can go look at other episodes, and unless they were, you know, shorter because one of us had something to do and only had limited time, the Andor, Hall's Calls have been the longest episodes we've done because there's so much to talk about that we like. I think that's a good sign. And what's even better is we got 2 more weeks of this, right? We'll be sort of towards the end of December, right? Then any of my Halo, or not Halo, Willow fans out there up playing with a worm will be able to watch Willow. And once Willow's over, we're real close to like Mando season 3.
What date is it? It's January 3rd or something, isn't it?
No, that might be Bad Batch. They haven't put out a date for Mando.
Oh,
yet, but I think
yeah,
it's going to be like February, March, maybe.
Interesting.
Ooh, and there's going to be a new Star Wars video game around that time, too. Ooh, 2023 is looking up.
I'm trepidatious on this Mandalorian season 3.
Don't be like that just because we're getting this really good Star Wars. Be excited.
No, I just, the fact that Luke and Grogu got reunited, like.
Oh, Din and Grogu?
Yeah, sorry. Din and Grogu got reunited in Boba Fett, in just how it was so happened. Like, it was just like, hey. Like, after. Like, they just built up this awesome thing at the end of season 2, like just this crazy emotional moment, you know, just it just got such a response. And just to have how they like undid that scenario was just so like, oh, that you really, you know, like they you really don't have a plan, because there's no way that could have been your plan, like to build up to such, like it was like, this is what it was like, right? You're going up the big hill of the roller coaster, right?
Right.
You go and it's massive.
Mm-hmm.
It's so massive, and you're building up all this adrenaline. You get to the top and it's just like, oh my God. And then it just goes down and it's only like a 4-foot drop.
Huh.
Because the level's higher. Like, just, like, their reunion was just, like I was ready to Rosenbernard it. Let's go.
Right. No, I mean, I get it.
Let's weep.
I think that is
a puppet and a stuntman in a helmet at 12:45 in the morning.
I have the same issue. I think they executed them being reunited way too quickly. But, you know, at the core of it, I have a completely different issue with that episode of The Book of Boba Fett. But that is, I mean, I've made that complaint dozens of times now. And it sure doesn't seem like we're getting a second season of Book of Boba Fett, despite any rumors that it might have been tossed around in the last few months. Sure doesn't seem, unless that was Temuera out on the beaches in Hawaii practicing lines for Book of Boba Fett season 2. That's what I like to think.
I think you can be confident at least you're going to see Boba Fett again.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, he's going to factor into the Mandalorian story at some point. There's no way he doesn't.
I just like, you know how I was saying, like, oh, you know, you can trust the show that it's going to fill it in. Like, now I'm sort of just like, and the pulp, like, comic book of it, I'm sure I'm going to enjoy, but you've sort of just taken out, like the heart of that massive scene sort of thing. Like, it's not, like, watching it again is sort of just like, it's not that emotional, them getting split up, because it's like, yeah, they're
back together in 6 episodes.
Yeah, and I sort of, in my head, just thought they'd be, like, it'd sort of be gone without a trace. Like, do you know what I mean? It would be sort of like they are completely separated.
Well, you know, I think there would have been some power to having, you know, Din have the little Grogu sized Beskar shirt made. He drops it off, but they don't see each other, right? Like that happened in the show. But then, like, if you had cut it there, I think I would have been a lot better with it. Because, like, yeah, we get a little update on Yoda, right? Or Grogu, rather. We get an update on Luke. We get to see Ahsoka. We get to see Din. You know, it's kind of heartbreaking. He goes all this way. He doesn't get to see him. But then for him to just get Ubered off in the X-Wing in the season finale of Book of Boba Fett, like, I don't know, man. Should have held on to that for a little while longer.
Yeah. And the... Like, even they could have... I think don't even give him the little suit. But just... Like, even if it's just for the Book of Boba Fett, just show what he's like. Well, I guess they did for a bit, but it's just, I don't know. I just wanted to see, I just thought it was setting up a new, fresh circumstance. And, you know, maybe, yeah, you know, to show him now that he's by himself again. Like, what's he like now? Like, do you know what I mean? How does he... like, deal with that? Is he more ruthless now that, you know, Grogu's not around?
Because, honestly, they kind of seemed like that was what they were implying when he shows up, right? In Book of Boba Fett, and he's chopping all those folks up in the...
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, like, you could have read into that, like, oh, dang, he's got a lot of pent-up feelings because he doesn't have little Grogu anymore, right?
Or maybe he's more angry now than ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he sort of... you know, needs him, like, he's
to balance him out.
Yeah, trust me, that is an important thing.
Sounding like Will there, buddy.
Oh, dude. 3.
Yep.
What's he doing?
Number 3. That's the last one, he said. He said he's taking measures to make sure that's the last one.
He's getting he's getting aroused.
Yes. Yes, he is getting it taken care of, so he doesn't have... They wanted... Yeah. 3 is the last one. Ivy. Ivy was born yesterday on 11/11. The baby and the mom are both doing real well.
The 11/11/22.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big call.
Yeah.
I got a few friends, like... But it's 2 of my best friends went with 3. It's just like, Are you serious?
It's a lot of kids.
Do you not remember two? I give people their space. So benevolent. Have another one. Yeah, that's yeah, see how that goes. But then learn your lesson. On two, fool me twice, shame on me. That's or something. I don't know. Yeah. Shame on someone.
Hey, my parents definitely were like, two is enough.
Man, well, I actually remember when I was listening to Will talk about Ivy about to come, and I was just like, it was stressful. I listened to podcasts to relax horns, and it was triggering some chestal tension. Just woof! I salute you. I salute all of you, you fools.
I'm going to be sending him and his wife some food delivery to the hospital today, so they don't have to worry.
Oh, horns!
Yeah,
you great man. I have to say, when we had Harry. People did send food, whatever, Uber Eats or,
yeah.
The people, to have food that you had nothing to do with just arrive, cooked, and it's delicious.
Right.
In that circumstance, it's just like, you just don't know how good that food tastes.
I could do the normal, hey, you had a baby thing, right? Send them, I don't know. What do you send somebody for a baby that was just born, right? Some diapers?
You want to be a real mate to Will?
Yeah.
You want to be one of the real ones?
Yep.
Send a couple of McRibs his way.
Exactly, right?
Send him down. Couple of them.
Ding dong, somebody's at the door. Oh, what's this? A sack full of McRibs and some Sody Pops? Psh. Night even better. Who cares how little sleep you're getting? Because you got kids. You got a tummy full of McRib.
That Dr. Pepper goes very well with the McRib.
Something about that duo, it does go very well.
Oof. Have you partaken on its apparent farewell tour?
Of course. That would be like if Tool was on a farewell tour and I was like, I didn't bother getting tickets.
Oh, you hadn't texted me any updates.
Oh, buddy, the day I texted you and told you the McRib was back, I was in the drive-thru line. That's how I knew it was back.
It was a live report.
Yeah, I had just got done running some errands. And I was like, I'm going to pick up McDonald's for dinner. And I got in line and I was like, oh, my God, the McRib is back. I have to text two people immediately, Steele and Johnny Grasso.
Jackie had one. We were in Germany
uh-huh.
a few years ago. And They've got the McRib there permanently.
Oh my God!
And they've got a few really interesting menu items over there. These like sort of little cheese ball, like popper, melty cheese inside the breadcrumb sort of deals.
Uh huh.
Pretty good.
Fried cheese curds or something.
Yeah, but it's got some they're like poppers or something. I don't know, but they were delicious. Mm-hmm. But also terrible. The McRib. And so she's never had one. And I'm just like, yes, let's go. This is the best. It was at an airport. And it's so good finding food you want to eat in an airport. It just makes the whole thing, So it was like this gift. And she did not like it. She did not fare well. She found the molded rib bones unsightly.
that's part of the whole appeal. If they didn't mold it into the rib shape, something tells me it would taste different. There's something about the composition and
lets the
density.
Onion and the sauce just blend in.
Yeah,
become
just hang
one with
out.
The rib.
Yeah. It's got little Death Star trenches that flavor settles in.
And I said to her, you think meat comes in a perfect circle? You hypocrite. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can kill someone with one of those burger patties, by the way.
Yeah, dude. They're frozen, rock solid.
You could really... Remember in Commando when there was the saw blade got wedged into someone's forehead? You could do that with a cheeseburger patty, I reckon. You sharpened it up. But
I definitely used some hamburger patties as Frisbees. I was Krull the Conqueror back in the day when my parents were doing the McDonald's thing.
So we got McDonald's the other day. And so we're all at home enjoying our McDonald's, like at the end of one of those ads. And I got the McRib. I was very excited. I sent you a photo of the sign. And I had to ask Jackie to not look away when I eat it because she signs it so disgusting that she sort of like looks at me eating it and pulls a face.
Oh, I've had
that happen.
And I'm
like, oh, you're vibe checking me on this McRib, Jackie.
Like, just it's farewell tour. Can we just have this one last night together, just, me and the McRib? Jeez.
Just leave me in my shit. Like, I felt like the end of, I wanted to recreate the end of Blair Witch Project.
Right, just standing in the corner, solemnly eating a McRib.
Just got his back to you in the corner, chomping away. Oh, it was, they're not like they used to be, though, Hawes.
They're not.
Oh, actually, I'll tell you a McRib fact. Or not a fact, but a fun little tidbit. When the McRib was first introduced in Australia, I was a hardworking McDonald's kitchen hand.
Right.
Probably
with
about,
Carl.
15 or 16 at the time. And I was never into sauces of any type. Hated your mustard, your ketchup, your mayonnaise. Hate them all. And this McRib was getting introduced, and it was a slightly different way to cook it because there had to be this, like, how they used to do it back in the day. And if there's any McDonald's workers listening that can fill me in on this, if this still happens, I don't think it does. But they would have this crock pot, like this hot pot, filled with the barbecue sauce heating.
Yep, and you would just dunk the whole rib patty down in it.
Sometimes you wouldn't get it back out.
Nope, sometimes that joker was gone.
And it was like the end of Terminator 2.
Yep.
Like dipping it into, it's like, oh, it might not come back out. You just get a thumbs up. The McRib went out the way he wanted it. No, he'd probably want to be eaten. Anyway, so we had a special day one night at McDonald's, like it was a Tuesday night, and they brought us all in to learn how to cook them. And we all got to eat, you know, we all got a McRib meal as part of the fun that we were having. I wonder if we got paid. But anyway, so they've got this McRib, and I'm like, oh, I don't think I'm going to like this, but whatever. I'll definitely get it without pickles. And it was love at first bite, Hawes.
It's a transcendent experience, that first McRib.
But then, after that, barbecue sauce, it was on, buddy.
Well, that's good to hear because I'm a sauce guy.
Well, I love barbecue sauce. Is one of the, you know, it's a sauce close to my heart now. But yeah, that opened the doors, and then it was just like it was 2 years of just seeing what I could put barbecue sauce on. It's like all these times, like you should have seen a very fussy young eater when I realized I liked pizza. That took like it was. I think I was 18, and gyros. That was a big one.
Ooh. Dude, that gyro sauce, that gyro sauce, hook it up. Ooh.
Well, in Australia, in Melbourne, they're called souvlakis. I don't really get what the difference is, or if it's just a different places call them different things. And in Melbourne, like everywhere around the inner city, there's these souvlaki places that are open all night that have like the meat cooking on the spit in the front window and stuff. And oh man, there's few things better when you're a few drinks deep on the way home.
Now let me tell you the exact opposite of that story. You know, when we came to California and you had the solo show that I was part of for the movie Solo. We got downtown a little early and ate at a place like that, like, you know, on the street, just down the street from the Scum and Villainy cantina. Yeah. And it was delicious. But, buddy, my stomach did not agree with that.
Oh, yeah. But the meat they have in America, it's like a processed log of meat.
Ah.
The ones in Australia are like bits of meat. Like, and it's a full spit deal, and there's hot coals and all sorts of business.
Wow.
And my apologies if anyone's vegetarian or vegan and this is disgusting them, but freedom of podcasting, I guess.
Yeah, man.
Yep. So, yeah. So, all right, Hawes, let's, I feel like we've talked for a long time.
We have almost an hour and a half, buddy.
Oh, sweet. Well, good show.
Thanks, man.
I was talking about Andor, to be honest, but the words would remain true. So don't worry.
Dang. Shoo. I got swerved on that.
How do you top this one, Gilroy? Let's see it, buddy.
Yeah, I'm excited to see them try.
You got some skills, dude.
No doubt.
Woof. All right, dude. So if you want to hear all the rest of these shows and support the pods, it's all on the Patreon. There's a bunch of shows reviewing every episode of Andor with tons of random thoughts and muckings about.
Yeah.
And then our other show that we do when we are not watching new shows is Star Wars Year by Podcast, where we go through the history of Star Wars year by year, page by page in the book Star Wars Year by Year. And we go through all the the important historical events. Where are we up to? About 1986, Hawes?
Yep. We're in the super fascinating period between Return of the Jedi and The Phantom Menace.
So, I think, how many episodes of that is there? Is there like 30 episodes or something?
Yeah, we've done quite a few, and I imagine we'll be able to at least get a couple in before Mando starts.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And it's timeless. We're talking about history.
Yep.
So,
and by the time we get to current history, we'll probably be on like the fifth or sixth revision of that book, and it'll just keep pushing it forward. You know, it's never going to end.
Oh yeah, I don't reckon we'll get to the end of the book, Hawes.
I think we will. Why? That's awfully negative.
All right, we'll see.
I think there's going to be some big falling out over Tales of the Jedi when we get to that in 1992.
No, I just think it might be mathematically a very long time away.
Yeah, man, I plan on doing this Star Wars podcast and stuff until I'm 2 foot in the grave.
All right, well, if you want to save money, don't subscribe to the Patreon now. Wait 40 years. And then you can just download all the episodes. You can binge them.
Well, you know, I mean, you probably want to go ahead and subscribe to both Patreons, you know, because, like, you want to be part of the conversation when the stuff releases, you know?
All right.
And tomorrow's not guaranteed. I want to be doing this in 40 years, but, man, things are going to have to get a little better than they've been doing this year.
I'm saying, you're calling me, like, such a downer. Because I'm saying, oh, we might not ever finish this. And now you're throwing in, like, also you might die tomorrow.
Hey, man, you gotta look at all perspectives, right, when considering the future. Always in motion, the future is.
Dude. All right. Well, just yeah, I don't know. Like, live a little.
And subscribe.
And subscribe to Patreon. all right. I will, I'll talk to you later, Hawes. Good show.
All right,
May
guys.
May that force be with you.
See you guys.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.